In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Your voice, worship him in just a minute. Just worshiping him a minute. In your own words, I want you to open your mouth, deliberately magnify the Lord. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Exalt him. Give him praise. Give him praise. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to receive all glory, honor, power, might, wisdom. Lift your praise to him and bless him. Lift your praise and honor him. Lift your voice and magnify the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the one who rides in the clouds, the one who dwells in unapproachable light. We, your sons and daughters, we join the elders and the saints. We bow before you and we adore you. We magnify your name. We lift you up with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to your name. We give you praise. Open your mouth and exalt him. Inside, outside, open your mouth and adore him. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to me. What a beautiful name it is, the name. Beautiful name it is.
Yeah.
sure you're worshiping Him in the presence. This is one of the reasons why we are here. Make sure you're worshiping Him. Lift your voice, declare. Yeah. voices and the strings.
Nibosi, Nibosi. Anasia.
Yeah.
bless you with our spirits. We bless you in our understanding. We join the angels to sing forth your praise. Let your praise resound in all the earth, for there is none like you, none to be compared with you. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Just 2 minutes, and if you can pray in the spirit, I want you to really take these 2 minutes to just pray in the spirit. We are going to pray against stubborn mindsets and strongholds. A stronghold is a mindset reinforced by demonic power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me repeat it, because many of you didn't hear me. Bring it down a little, please. A stronghold is a spiritually reinforced mindset that somebody behaves stupid, or somebody behaves like he lacks wisdom, or behaves without understanding perpetually. When somebody keeps making the same mistakes again and again, it is because they are blinded by a mindset. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a thought becomes a habit, it's a mindset. Nothing can be done to change you away from that mental trajectory until there is an introduction of a new kind of knowledge. But it is worse when it becomes a stronghold. Satan will send demons to barricade around that mindset, so that that person for the rest of his life will believe a lie as the truth. And that is one of the things that has cheated the body of Christ, especially in this subject that we are dealing with. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to pray against mindsets, stubborn mindsets and strongholds. Some of these mindsets were derived from our family, our background. Some of us grew up from families where poverty was the order of the day. And unknown to you, you have become used to lack. You have found spirituality in lack. And it's not so. The reason why, with all the word of God that keeps coming on a weekly basis, certain people don't seem to experience transformation in their life is because they are contending, unknown to them, with a stronghold. But the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. It's a thought pattern. It has to be dealt with. Some of these mindsets or these strongholds are territorially derived. Within a particular territory, there is a way people behave. There is a principality hanging over that territory that has infused in the mind of men a thought pattern that is not consistent with scripture, with the word of God. So you find that everybody around that locality is given to drunkenness, or you find that everybody around that locality is given to laziness. It's a stronghold. Are you ready to pull it down? I want you to hold the hand of your neighbor. In the next 2 minutes, we are going to stage a warfare against stubborn mindsets and strongholds. Any thought pattern that has held me from receiving all that God has for me in Christ Jesus. Any thought pattern that has restrained me from activating superior versions of myself. I break free from it tonight. Can you lift your voice and pray? Ah,
Agreement tonight that with an open and a receiving heart we receive your word with meekness. We ask that your word will bring forth light to our soul. Let us experience the empowerment dimension of your word. Let strongholds around our lives be broken. Let there be deliverance tonight, and let the sick be healed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You can clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. I welcome you to Pneumatech. Truly a place where you will experience the wisdom, the presence, and the power of Jesus Christ. How many of you are ready tonight? You didn't sound like you came ready. I can't hear you. No, you can sound better. I said, are you ready? Amen. Somebody's life will change tonight. Now, first of all, let me apologize for coming late. I wasn't resting or chilling somewhere, no. I've been on my table till 3 p.m. Amen. There was a lot that I had to put down for this subject, and hence the reason for my coming behind time. But I trust that the presence of God is here. And I want you to know that, you see, these meetings are an investment. And I would like to put a major investment in your future, as far as being in Christ and fulfilling destiny is concerned. Every sacrifice always has a gain at the end of the day. That we come here week in, week out. Some of us have to burn fuel to be here. Transportation here and there. Sitting down for hours. I want you to know that you are not wasting your time at all. Go back home and tell those people who mock you when you are coming here that of a truth you are not wasting time. The end will justify the means. Jesus said wisdom is justified by her children. What God will make out of your life as you deliberately provide your heart and your ears to the word of God and to the ministry of the Holy Spirit on this platform, and then as you make a deliberate attempt to put to practice, because I hope you know hearing the word alone does not do any good. It is the commitment to practicalize everything that you have heard that commands genuine transformation. I want you to know that as you keep receiving the word and going home to practice this in your life, your life will become nothing short of a sign and a wonder. It may not look like it now, but just give it time. The word of God is like a seed. Is that true? You don't plant a seed today and expect it to be harvested today. If you ever plant a seed tonight and tomorrow morning you have a tree, you will run from that tree. Because it has broken laws. Is that true? So what you are doing coming here week in, week out, and for those of us who are always following, in fact, can we put our hands together for our online viewers and followers? Amen. From the testimonies you hear, you know that there are people following this platform concurrently and consistently. Amen. So for those of us who are in the city of Maiduguri in Nigeria, I think that we should be... What is wrong? I think that we should be grateful to God that we have it here amongst us. Are you here? If somebody can follow all the way from Delta State, I mean, look at that miracle. Leukemia, that's cancer of the blood, is because they are following wholeheartedly and consistently. So those of us that are here in this city, I believe we should count it a privilege that we have a move of God like this in our time. Amen. So I plead with you to continue coming week in, week out. A day will come when this investment will yield in your life. Some of you are already tasting the first fruit. You are already beginning to see scratches, trickles of the mighty outpouring that is about to be seen in your life. And tonight you are going from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I want to recognize the presence of Pastor and Mrs. Idris, who is with us. Please, Pastor Idris can sit near his wife. Oh, he decided you're welcome. Can we give him a big God bless you? Thank you. Thank you all the way. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. We love to have you here. Are we ready tonight? Oh, Reverend Addy is also here. God bless you. Please help me celebrate him. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Amen. Now, you see, I'm touched when pastors, leaders of churches and ministries will come and sit down here. Sunday is supposed to be a time where you rest. Amen. Oh, Bamanga, you're back. Okay, you didn't travel again. Oh, God answered my prayer. Amen. I mean, if we can have pastors, leaders come to sit here, you that you have not started leading anything, you have not started even your business, you have not started, what is your excuse for not coming? And I'm speaking to that person that is at home now in Maiduguri. What is your excuse for not being here? It's the price you pay for a glorious destiny. Amen. There's always a location, a place where God will train his people. Paul gathered the disciples and took them to the school of Tyrannus. The Bible didn't say that the school had AC. It didn't say that they were paying their transport to go there. They just kept gathering there. And God raised mighty men from that place. So this is a price you are paying day after day. And God will do you good in Jesus' name. Financial Dominion Part 3. Now, today I will title what I want to share, Secrets from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. I want the lesson tonight is going to be more practical. Secrets from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. And who was the richest man that ever lived? King Solomon. Alright, we'll prove that in this lesson. Amen. But before we proceed, just two scriptures to charge our heart. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. Please make sure there are no empty chairs. I see that people are... Make sure that all these empty chairs are filled up so that we can have room outside for people. Make sure there are no empty chairs in the hall. Okay? I know that there are people outside. Make sure there are no empty chairs here. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Can we read the last part of that verse together? And I say to that verse over your life, God forbid. Read it together at the count of three. One, two, three. But they said, we will not walk in it. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. The Bible speaks of the ancient path, the old path. In other words, there are great lessons that you must learn from history. The old has the advantage of experience. And there is a lot that we can learn from experience. Ancient paths, the ways of God that has been in time past. God spoke to them and said, ask for those ways and walk in it so that you can have the same results as the patriarchs. But this was a rebellious generation. They said, we will not walk. We will not. Can I tell you the greatest ignorance in our time today is what I call deliberate ignorance. Because there is knowledge. We have the advantage of the Bible. We have the advantage of the Holy Scriptures. Everything that you want to become or you want to achieve or you want to receive in Christ Jesus, there is a manifestation of the same already captured in Scriptures. There are accounts and records of people who have walked with God in time past and what their walk with God has produced. So you are not supposed to learn anything new. Build on existing structures. Leverage on the experiences of others. But a rebellious generation said, we will not. May that not be our portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. It says, and be not slothful. Be not sluggish. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That those that have gone ahead of us, the saints of old, the apostles and the early church, the disciples, the saints in the Old Testament, that through faith and patience, these were the principles by which they were able to access the promises of God. And I hope you know that for us New Testament believers, the promises, the promise that we have in Christ Jesus is the promise of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Just as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. It says in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might be given to the Gentiles. Might be upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you have already received access to all that God has made available for you as it pertains to life and godliness. But I brought that scripture in Hebrews to show us the place of principles. The Bible says through faith and patience, they obtained. Let me talk about the patience a little. Because you see, when we talk about wealth, finances, riches, one virtue, if you want to go by it the legitimate way, one virtue that you cannot shy away from or that cannot be isolated from your equation is patience. Nobody gets wealthy overnight. No. There is always a process that God will take you through. And in the midst of that process, you need the virtue of patience. You need the virtue of patience. The problem with this generation is we are in a hurry for everything. Of course, we are living in a fast lane generation. The 21st century is a century for speed. Everything is designed to make life quick and fast. Microwave, instant noodles. You want to make quick food for somebody to eat, they call it quickie. So let's make a quickie for you. Everything is quick and speedy and fast. And it's okay to enjoy that within the context of civilization. But if it has to do with your walk with God, your growth as a believer, if you are interested in growing in Christ Jesus as a believer at all, patience is important. It will not happen in one day. You will not come today and miss one month and think that you eventually end up like people who have devoted their time. No. Follow those who through faith and patience obtain. We must learn to be patient. Allow God to mentor you. Allow the Spirit of God to guide you in correct and accurate tutorship, that you can master the laws and the principles that govern the operation of the systems of the kingdom. And then you can now, your life can now show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It takes patience. You will not rush God. It takes patience to build formidable wealth and riches the kingdom way. It takes patience. Forget about what you see on Instagram, all those celebrities, and you know most of those things are lies actually. Some of them will rent cars, millions of naira, thousands of dollars, and shoot video. And now an average young man, all he wants to do is get a system and become a Yahoo fraudster. Because he wants to drive a Lamborghini at 22. If you eat your future today, what will happen to your future? Patience. And it's creeping into the church now. It's all about show. You can see it because we spend money more on things that will make our life not even comfortable. Comfortable is okay. We spend money on things we don't need unnecessarily. Unnecessary luxury. Just trying to prove a point and impress people who don't even want to be impressed by you. Trying to impress people who don't even know you are there. So you find people park cars in front of a church that is an uncompleted building. Something is wrong with their understanding. I'm sorry, but I'm speaking as an apostle. Let me tell you the truth. Because they just showed you their priorities. Me first. You can't go the kingdom way like that. The reason why many people slack in their service in the house of God, many people slack in their commitment to the kingdom, is because they lack the average understanding that every kingdom citizen should have. It's called a kingdom mindset. That you were saved for a cause. It's not about you. When you give your life to follow God and to walk His ways with patience, esteeming God and His kingdom higher than yourself. The Bible is clear. It says, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. There are many things you can seek and pursue. But if you seek all those things, it will end up in vanity. It says, vanity upon vanity is vanities. The only thing you can pursue that will not end up in vanity. You know what vanity is? Vanity is having acquired everything. You discover that the peace you were looking for was not there. The joy you were looking for was not there. So God wants to save you a wasted life. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Particularly, I'm speaking to young people like myself. I'm bothered when I see young people play with the service of God. You think we have all the time? One day you will be 60 years old and you will not have the strength again. You'll be 70 years old. The Bible says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. I will spend my life for God, oh, so that when I'm 55, I'm 60, I can mentor a generation. I don't know, this is not my teaching, but I don't know why I'm going here. You know, when you see people behave in the house of God, when you see that they have to beg them, cajole them to give, beg them to be committed, it just shows you that this guy is only saved in his spirit. Self is still ruling over him. So though he's born again, but he's still living under the dictates and the influence of a corrupted life. He doesn't even understand why he's existing. For this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So we must be patient to allow God. Take your eyes off what you see on the internet. Take your eyes. The Bible says, do not copy the systems of this world. It says, but be ye transformed. Christianity is useless if what we are trying to do is copy the patterns of the world and recycle it or repackage it in church. If that is Christianity, brothers and sisters, let's call it let's say the truth as it is. It is useless. And for as long as you keep coming here, I will keep shouting this, because there is a madness that God needs to deliver this generation from. We treat the things of God with levity. We don't care. It doesn't consign us. What we are concerned is about what will give impetus to our flesh. And that's why today we are going to study from the life of the richest man who ever lived. So that you learn certain secrets and you learn certain things that you shouldn't do. Are we together now? Let's proceed. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 12 to 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 12 to 15. Sorry, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. In fact, I want us to pray. I feel something in my spirit. I want you to pray a rededication prayer in 1 minute. Say, Lord, I decide to be serious with you, your kingdom, and my life as a believer. In 1 minute, I want you to pray that. I just feel a burden in my spirit. I don't know why God is taking us this way. I want you to make a prayer of commitment again to God. Whether you are old or young, whether you are married or single, male or female, father, mother or children, I want you to pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, I decide from today to be serious with you, to be serious with your kingdom, and to be serious with my growth. No more chasing shadows. Show us the ancient paths. Lead us along eternal highways. We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. We want to enter your rest. Hallelujah. Please be serious with God. Take this as a prophetic message in these last days. Don't play games. Be serious with God. Invest your life in your relationship with God, in your growth as a believer. Make deliberate investments so that you can translate to superior versions of yourself. If you are going to serve God, serve Him wholeheartedly. If you are going to serve the world, then do it with the whole of your heart. No time for games anymore. May God forbid that God will skip our generation and raise stones for His work. God forbid. Be serious. Young lady, be serious with God. Young man, be serious with God. Oh, you are married and you have children now. You say, oh, it's the children. Let them do it. It's their time. At your old age, ma, sir, be serious with God. The Bible says, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works. There's no age in the service of God. With all due respect, be serious with God. I'm saying it again. Let me say it 7 times. Be serious with God. 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 There are some relationships around your life that will not allow you to serve God the way you should. It's time to shake off those relationships. Be business oriented in your walk with God. God has no time for people who want to play games with Him. I'm sorry if my tone offends you. Well, that's how the prophetic is. Are we together now? May God use us as an example in our generation. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Let's read from verse 11 so we get the context. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Verse 12 now. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Go on. So Solomon came to Jerusalem from the high place that was at Gibeon, from before the tabernacle of meeting, and reigned over Israel. And Solomon, it was from verse 12 to what? 15. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. Also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. Look at this. And he made cedars as abundant as the sycamores, which are in the low land. That means God made Solomon so rich that it was normal to find gold and silver on the streets of Jerusalem. Today, if you wear, even if it is 10 carats of gold, you are the admiration of people as well as a suspect. Somebody don't mind cutting your hand to take the wristwatch. But the Bible says Solomon's wealth was so great that gold and silver became nothing in Israel. Such level of wealth. Is it possible to see it again before Jesus comes? Maybe by the end of this financial series, we will know whether it is possible or not. I did a research. It's here, but I can't read it in details. Of the 3 richest men ever in all times, and King Solomon was number 1. According to my research, Solomon in his lifetime was worth $2.1 trillion in today's money. In today's money, with the inflation and everything. In today's morning, he was worth $2.1 trillion. Please make sure you go home and do your research. But there is no country in the world that has an economy that can handle that figure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you judge the economy by the GDP, the gross domestic product and the gross national product and all of those indices that they use. There is no economy in the world that can handle that. And I'm glad that he was in the Bible. And he was a man that walked with God. So that the God that made it happen for him in his time, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will interest you to know that the top three richest men in the world, number one, or let me start from the third person. His name is Mansa Musa. Mansa Musa. The word Mansa means emperor or king of kings. He was an African Islamic king. Mansa Musa was so rich that his net worth was $400 billion. It was said that Mansa Musa, that he would dash gold. Anytime he's moving, he'll dash people gold. The poor, gold and silver. He'll be dashing them anyhow. It was said that Mansa Musa built a mosque every Friday. Okay. Now in church, to reach 50,000 is a problem. Abi? Every Friday he built a mosque. He was so rich he didn't know what to do with the wealth. So anytime he was moving, he would just be dashing people like that. You can go search it out and Google it. The second person was John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller was an American business magnate and philanthropist. He had businesses in oil and gas and several other things. John D. Rockefeller is considered to be the wealthiest American of all time, with a net worth of $663.4 billion. The richest man now, how much does he worth? Just a little over 200. John D. Rockefeller was a philanthropist, he was a giver, but it was said that his greatest secret, as he said, was that he tithed 90% of everything he had to God. And he gave often to the poor. 90% tithe. You are struggling with 10%. You are delivered in Jesus' name. Solomon, King Solomon, in his lifetime had a net worth of $2.1 trillion. There are more I would say about the wealth of Solomon, but let's go deep into the Word of God. Okay, let me just finish it. Well, the wealth of Solomon could not be completely measured. So far, the research that I did, what they could only measure in his wealth was the gold reserve that he had. Solomon's gold reserve. Every year, Solomon received 25 tons of gold. Every year. Now, 1 ton of gold in today's money is worth $64.3 million. And he received 25 tons. Huh? A ton is about 1,000 kilograms, right? Or more. How many? A ton is, I think, around 1,000 kilograms. Now, Solomon reigned for 40 years. So, if you multiply 25 tons per year times 40, you will have 2,572,000,000 US dollars. So every year he had gold coming to him worth 64.3 million US dollars. And while I was doing all the research, I discovered a research statistics that was done by the United Nations. This is as at 30th of March 2023, that 32% of Nigeria's population which is 64.3 million, you know, the same amount that he used. Solomon every year got gold of $64.3 million. Now, as at 30th of March 2023, when this research was done, the UN told us that 64.3 million of Nigerian population does not have adequate food to eat per day. Meanwhile, the same figure in US dollars is what somebody was receiving every year from his gold reserves alone. This research excludes the income that he derived from businesses, from trade and commerce, and from the annual tribute that were given to him by kings and governors of Arabia. Every year, kings from different nations will go to Solomon and they brought gifts to him. All those things were not quantified. It was only his gold reserve. Somebody say money. Why are you afraid of saying it? I bind poverty. I bind poverty from... Say money. So I think this kind of person is worth studying, isn't it? The Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience obtain. So fasten your seatbelt because we are beginning now. So I studied the Bible, I ransacked the scriptures again and again, and I studied the life of Solomon carefully. And I came up with 7 secrets that I discovered in his life. Now, actually, these studies, I had started it since 2021, actually. So, but I concluded it this year because of this teaching. And I want you to embrace these secrets very well. Somebody's life is about to change. In the name of Jesus. Number one, secrets from the richest man who ever lived. Number one, what were the secrets of King Solomon that made him command so much wealth? Are you ready? Number one, sacrifice. Sacrifice. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. I want to show you something very interesting about the life of Solomon. Now Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him, and the Lord his God was with him, and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, to the judges and to every leader in Israel, in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. He was just crowned king. This was just after his coronation as king. They went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting with God. For the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. Jump to verse 6 and 7. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now, keep that verse 7. The Bible says Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. God instituted the ceremony of sacrifice when he was giving his laws to the children of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. So there were certain sacrifices that were to be done as the part and parcel of their worship to God. One very important of such sacrifice was burnt offerings. A burnt offering was the killing of a bull, a matured male bull. Now, let's do this class is practical. Today is a very practical session. Please, especially those of you who do cattle business and ram business, or you have friends who do it, don't deny me here, please. I need your intellect now. And may God bless you for your contribution. How much is a cow? A cow is a female, isn't it? That's a heifer. So a full matured cow is how much? Let's put an approximation. Yeah, you are from Taraba, sir. So you know, yes, how much? 500,000 to 600,000, a full matured cow. And God bless you, you are buying that cow during any of the Muslim holidays. That's a cow. So if a full matured female cow is 500,000 to 600,000, are we right to say that a matured bull should be between 600 to maybe 700? To a million. Oh, thank you very much, sir. To a million. So let's put it a million for a bull. Some of you have not seen a bull before. What you see is cow. Anytime you want to see, if you want to identify that as a bull, the number of people to kill it are many. I remember those days in my secondary school, they used to kill cow every week. So one day they brought a bull instead of the cow. It was drama the whole of that day. We had to run out of the dining hall, thousands of students, because the bull pushed everybody aside and was just going around the whole school. So if a million buys a bull, 1 million times 1,000. Yes, please, who can calculate fast for us? 1 million times 1,000 is how many? 1 billion. Somebody just became king. He inherited some problems from his father. He doesn't even know how much is left in the king's treasury. He took 1 billion. And hold on, you will have at between 3 to 5 people slaughtering one. Is that true? And you will have to pay all these people. So we are not counting the cost of paying, let's just put it at 3 to 1 bull times 1,000. That's how many? 3,000. You are not counting how much the cost of paying them. See, look at me. Look at some of your mind. Let's talk practical thing today. Minus paying the people who are going to slaughter those bulls, he spent 1 billion naira. In Nigerian language, that person they craze. Now, it happens to be that most times when you are moving in the wisdom of God, you will be crazy to a natural man. The first thing that Solomon did as soon as he ascended the throne was what? A 1,000 bond sacrifice. And I want to tell you a few reasons why Solomon did that. I hope you know that there were certain ancestral and foundational issues in the lineage of Judah. For instance, there was immorality problem. The lineage of Judah continued because Judah slept with his daughter-in-law. And God had already issued in the laws that God gave them at Mount Sinai. There was a curse on that. That is what you call incest or something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the reason why, even though Jacob had prophesied over Judah in Genesis 49, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, the kingship belonged to Judah. But for many years, we did not see any king rise from Judah. In fact, when God would ask them to anoint the first king, God bypassed Judah and went to Benjamin. Why? There was a curse already. Another thing that was wrong with the lineage of Judah was untimely death. People were cut off in their prime. The moment the anointing came on David, Saul started pursuing him for 13 years. Many times he would have died. In fact, at a point, David had to lie to save his life. Many times. When David became king, well, you know the story of Amon and Tamar and Absalom, a continuity of that immorality thing. His first son, Amnon, was killed. His second son, Chiliab, many of you know, except you study your Bible in depth. Chiliab was the son, the first son between David and Abigail, and perhaps the only son that Abigail had for David. And it is said by Bible scholars that Chiliab died because of SS. He was a sickler. The third son now was who? Absalom, killed. The fourth son, Adonijah, died. Who was next? Solomon. Solomon said, before this death hit me, let me take. It seems anybody that enters this throne, death, they fight him. I hope you know the death started from Saul, who died in battle. In fact, David wept. He said, why did Saul die as though he was not anointed? I'm teaching you spiritual secrets today. You are better open your ears and listen. Because this is, some of you, is by what you learn tonight that you will first of all be delivered from all the turmoils in your background. And then you can now create an economy that generations after you can survive through. Some of you come from families where the moment a person rises, is cut down with death. The moment somebody is trying to rise, madness, one affliction will just hit them. One thing or the other does not allow people ascend to their prime and remain there. If you are like that, yeah, you better listen to what I'm saying this night. Sacrifice. Principle number one. And look at verse 7. God came to him that night. The Bible never said God had any business with Solomon. But a man's sacrifice touched God. I hope you know God is the father of spirit. God is the one that said in Psalms chapter 50 that if I were hungry, I would not tell you. He said the cattle on the thousand hills are mine. God is a God. He is the same God that said he takes no pleasure in sacrifice. That he prefers mercy to sacrifice. But that there is an offering that a man can give. And it's not offering. It's not sacrifice. It's an invitation to a meeting with the King of Kings. The Bible says in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 1. He said that night God appeared to him. Say, waiting you want. When was the last time God appeared to you? When was the last time God came to you and entered a transgenerational covenant with you? Especially we in Africa. When was the last time you had an encounter and God told you, because of this, from today? Many of us are scarce of that in our life. That's why you are still a victim to the manipulation of principalities and powers. If you want to know men whose life have become superior to the operation of principalities and powers, they are like those that Paul said that they will teach principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, principalities and powers cannot understand the dynamics governing the existence of these men. They are men of covenants. They are men that understand sacrifice. You forget about anything you watch online, anything any blogger tells you. They make money on your head and you avoid the truth. Quote me anywhere. I have never seen wealth, true lasting wealth, whether legitimate or illegitimate, without sacrifice. It all depends on which altar. It's either the sacrifice of God with God or with the devil. There's no way. You can't skip it. You can't maneuver it. You can attend. Do you know wealth is spiritual? I'll talk about that next week. There was a book I was reading before coming here. I couldn't even finish it. A book on how Jewish businessmen prosper. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know. Your account balance has never gone beyond a level. You think it is ordinary. It is spiritual, let me tell you. Sacrifice. Psalms 50 verse 5, what does it say? Gather to me, my people, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. He calls them saints. Gather my saints together to me. Then he identifies them. He says, not everybody. Oh. He says, those who have made a covenant with me. They are all his people. But he says, amongst them, there are those who have made a covenant of sacrifice. Solomon understood this. He learnt it from David, his father. Even though God didn't allow David to build for him, if you see, if you read 1 Chronicles 29 and see the bogus offering that David gave, the offering of David alone was more than all the elders of Israel together. It's in your Bible. Go and read it. Solomon said, I know what to do to attract this God. Ask those who are plussing their Yahoo. Ask big time businessmen and CEO. I heard of a very famous businessman in this country. I won't mention the name, but you can't talk about business and wealth in Nigeria without talking about him. I heard this story, I don't know how true, but I heard it from a reliable source. They say he has an estate in one city in the north. And in that estate, several houses he built for malams. Each malam has a driver and a cook, paying them every month. What do they do? Offer sacrifices on his behalf. They said when he wanted to open one side, one part of his business, that's what all of us eat. There's nobody that doesn't eat this one, but I will not say it. When he wanted to open it, they buried 90 cows in the ground. It's only now that you find politicians, Christian politicians in church, going for position, and all they have is their chest and their sweet words. You are joking, no? Let me be honest with you this night. I love you, but I will tell you the truth. You are joking. You want to start a good career. You want to enter a sphere that is already being controlled by powers that you cannot see. Understand how to mark your beginning with sacrifice. That was the wisdom of the richest man. And what was his reward? Verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. The reward for that singular act that he did. He said, God told him, he said, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor. He didn't ask for wealth, though. He didn't ask for riches. I like to do business with God, I tell you. He didn't ask for riches, though. He said, give me wisdom to govern your people. God said, well, I will give you the wisdom, but this thing that you have done, I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. That's why till today, nobody can rise to that place. Why? A man called God. He called Elohim with his sacrifice. Ask your neighbor, what do you have on your altar? Whether it's for your family, whether it's for your business. I hope you are not, don't give me that look and say, we are in the New Testament, there's no other sacrifice. You just don't understand your Bible. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was for sin. He died for sin so that we can be justified. But 1 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 4 and 5 that we are lively stones being built up to a spiritual house that will offer spiritual sacrifices. The covenants change, but the system of sacrifice continues. You want to start a ministry in a land that fights anything. Any church or ministry cannot survive territorial impact beyond a particular time. You want to start a church in that place. You say God called you to that place. You want to set up a fellowship. Oh boy, go and understand the covenant of sacrifice. Otherwise, the gods of that land will come for you. Because there's no land that is not claimed by a spirit. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That is true, according to the Bible. But in reality, there are demon spirits and principalities governing territories. Whether it is sacrifice of prayer, whether it is sacrifice of thanksgiving, some of us even to thank God. If I ask you, when was the last time you thanked God? Today, you can't even remember. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving. It says, which is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. It is a sacrifice, meaning it is demanded. You don't do it because you want to or you feel like. It is a sacrifice. He said we should offer continually. Even thanksgiving to God. You can't remember when you thank God throughout today. You want to see uncommon wealth. Wealth that defies every natural law or limitation. It can't be without sacrifice. If I told you any other thing apart from this, I would have been lying. I can even stop the message here with this principle. You can go and apply it and you will watch yourself enter strange dimensions of wealth. Just this one principle. You can live on it. One of our fathers in the faith went to preach somewhere. And as soon as he got off stage, here was how he started praying. You know, you will pray and then tell the people to sit down and begin to preach. He stood to pray. He said, Father, you know me and I know you. Let the miracles happen. And cripples began to walk. If it was a young minister like myself, he would go there and worship and charge the place for 1 hour. And by mistake, one headache goes. Somebody just stands and says, Father, you know me. I know you. May God bring us to the point where we can pray like that. It's not pride, it's track record of sacrifice. Father, you know me. Habokotoba, Leko Parusia Kata. As soon as he opens his mouth, the records are open in heaven. And year after year, there's a track record of sacrifice that this man has done things that has touched the heavens. God would rather slay a nation and keep that one. Some of our fathers, it is them that will decide to go. Or God will say, come, it's time to die. Otherwise, some of them, at their age, they are not even using glasses. You are 30 years, you are already using glasses because of computer light. You can laugh, but I hope you are hearing the truth. I'm preaching with all sense of passion inside of me today. Because I want to see a generation change. God is going to use us to change the norm and the custom of poverty and lack in northern Nigeria. Sacrifice. Even God was subjected to that law. Gave himself for mankind. So till today, that blood is shed more than 2,000 years ago. Till today, no matter what the devil tries to do against you, the last line of defense is the blood. No matter the arrow the enemy fires, when you invoke the sacrifice of the blood, there's an overturning. Now God saved you as a king and a priest so that you can continue offering spiritual sacrifice. So that you, God can use you to create a spiritual economy within your family, within your locality. At least if darkness is about to swallow the whole place, somebody now has a commonwealth with God. And men can do business with God based on that man. Sacrifice. If I ask an average believer, what are the laws to wealth and riches? Some people will say hard work, be intelligent, be smart. Even if you say hard work, it's sacrificial to work hard. To sleep 3 hours, 4 hours a day, it's sacrificial. To have the money to travel to any part of Nigeria or abroad for a vacation, but refusing because you are investing time and energy to work and build a system that can bless people, is still sacrifice. You know the problem of our generation? Laziness has eaten us to a point where we want God to bend his laws because of us. It won't work. It will not work. Sacrifice. Yes, all of us are pastors. All of us are men of God. But when we stand before God, even though we are all anointed, I beg to say, what will separate us is the record of sacrifice. So some men, they don't need... Every time Riyad Bonki is traveling to a place for crusade, it's as if all the demons go on vacation. All the charm within that locality will fail. No one will walk. So the native doctors from the bush that you never saw, they'll come out with the charm. Because of one man. And everywhere he went, across Africa, it was the same. Do you think that life is without sacrifice? I told you the story of John D. Rockefeller. His tithe was 90%. You know what it means to give 90% of all you have? 90%. Business people will understand me. 90, not 10, 90. Your salary is 250,000 in IRC. Glory to God. Tithe of 25,000, 10%. You are doing Janin Jaka with God. Well, apologies for those listening from Europe and other places. That's a term in Hausa language. 90% of 250 is how much? 225. Waiting God remain. That is the path. When you want to know men that have liver, is the path of sacrifice. You know, they'll say, you know, get liver. You want to know men of God and faith, is that path. Abraham, take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. And they took him to that mountain. Let me speak to somebody today before we close. You know that God has shown you, based on what you can see about your future, it will demand a sacrificial life from you now for that future to be a reality. I came to encourage you, pay the price. Don't run from it. There's no other way. People, occultic people do more. There's no time to share some of my personal stories with you. Number two, secrets from the richest man who ever lived. Number two, wisdom. Wisdom. And then put in bracket, knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 24 verse 3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. It says, by knowledge, I think that's verse 4, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Riches. A combination of the force of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Solomon possessed it. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 10 and 12. God made a covenant with him. God told him, wisdom and knowledge are yours. In Proverbs 22 verse 4. Proverbs 22 verse 4. The Bible says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You will understand this verse when you go back to Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Where he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you go back to Proverbs 22 verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. And if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it means that it takes a combination of humility and wisdom to attain riches, wealth, honor, and life. Wisdom. Solomon's wisdom became a source of revenue for his kingdom. The Bible told us in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22 to 24, that kings of the earth came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, because he surpassed all the kings of the earth with riches and wisdom. And remember that as they came, as the kings will come, they will come with their gold and silver. They will come with their gifts. They will come with things that later became a revenue. Imagine when people come to you because of the information that you can sell. Imagine when people come to you because you have a wise counsel that is not gotten anywhere. Imagine when people come to you because you possess knowledge and understanding in a field that makes you outstanding and forcefully relevant within a sociological context. Imagine that. Well, if you want to live an average life, there's no way you will possess that. But if you want to be outstanding, then you will need to walk with the force of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Through wisdom, a house is built. True wisdom, a house is built. And by the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you walk with God, one of the spiritual resources that God can invest in the life of a man is wisdom. Let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is having a clear understanding of divine patterns and how that by applying these divine patterns on earth, you can stumble into certain predictable results. It's wisdom. That's why it is with wisdom you solve problems. Whatever is a problem or a limitation in the natural, when you have the wisdom of God on your life, He gives you the solution, the pattern solution in the supernatural, in the heavens, so that when you apply it, it does the job. And when people around you know that only you can solve a particular problem, you are on your way to wealth. Because they will do, remember the law of exchange. They will exchange any valuable thing they have to get your wisdom. Some of you don't know why God has been keeping you in the secret place. No job for 1 month. I'm not saying don't job hunt. But do you know that one of the benefits of staying in the presence of God is that the wisdom of God comes upon you? It is by that wisdom that you can define the existence of people and things around you. Redefine. It is by that wisdom that you can bring solution to defying problems. It is by that wisdom that you can create a pathway in the midst of something that people seem not to understand. Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious riches. So, one of the secrets that we will derive from Solomon's life is you need to contend for the force of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is more difficult to maintain and manage wealth than to make it. There are three things you need to know how to do with money to be wealthy. You need to know how to make, manage, and multiply money. Very important. If you miss one out of these three, you can't be rich. And it comes to you by wisdom. Even if I'm speaking to one person tonight, with all this crowd, I'm okay. Wisdom. Wisdom. And the good thing about wisdom is, it's not only God that can give wisdom. Wisdom can come from wise counsel. Counsel from mentors, from fathers, from people around you. Wisdom can come by association. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. But a companion of fools, some of us, I'm sorry to say, but your companion around you, how you know that they are, I won't call the word, but you know now, F-O-O-L, is that anytime you have a problem, nobody around you can provide a solution. My brother, change your friends. I'm telling you, you have three friends, and you stumble into a problem, a crisis, and none of them can give you an idea that will bring you out. It's time for a retreat. Fast. Forget about the problem. Go on a retreat. And what you will do in that retreat is you need to change those friends. You walk around with people that are empty-headed, well-dressed like me, but nothing in the head. So there is nothing they can exchange
There is lack of mental power. There is nothing they can exchange for what they want. You are already in a crisis, so don't wait for it to happen. Look for another. You see, I will keep saying it because some of us, with all this message and shouting, you have refused to break away. You like that mediocrity cycle. So every Sunday you keep coming, I will keep shouting it on you until there's a change. And I love you with all due respect. But it's a stronghold I'm dealing with. You have all kinds of people around your life. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. There are things that can be translated by association. Association. You want to be rich and you don't have rich people around you. You want to start business and you don't have experienced business people around you. You are just on your way to, you just took the shortest cut to poverty. Go and look for full gospel businessmen fellowship. Go there and sit down there. Make friends with those people. Hang around their discussion. Go to these places where they sell tea. Eh? Don't you realize? It's just tea they are selling there with suya. But go there in the night, you see cars that it's only on the internet you see those cars parked there. Say they came to drink tea. That's how big men roll. Go there and sit down, hang around. As you are listening to their conversation, you are getting something. Some of you need to even travel. Go attend a conference. Get knowledge. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious things. Precious riches. Spend your money to acquire knowledge. For instance, investing in the knowledge on ICT, agriculture. These are very virgin parts. I hope you know industrialization is, the world is already has shifted from industrialization. Pay $20, $10, pay it, you will not die. Can't you delay your enjoyment today so that you can have a good future tomorrow? Get knowledge, get something in your skull. For goodness sake, my dear brothers and sisters, get something in your mind that can be, even if they don't want to deal with you on religious terms, you have something in your mind that they cannot gainsay. If I was not doing ministry, I can stand and mentor. I can do leadership. I have spent a lot building myself on leadership. I can be a financial coach. If I stand here to teach you on finances, keep the Bible aside, you will think I have a PhD. So if ministry will not bring, and you know, there's no seed in ministry. Where they go give you? From Maiduguri? There's no seed. Wisdom. Solomon's wisdom became a source of revenue in his kingdom. Solomon was widely researched in every field of human endeavor. Solomon was a researcher. 1 Kings 4:29, 32 to 34. The Bible says he researched, he studied, he had understanding in different things. Please give us that verse 32 to 34. Let's see it. He said he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Ha! And his songs were 1,005. That means Solomon could even make money from music. Maybe he did actually. Go on. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon. And this was a very economic tree, the cedar tree. Any major construction that was done in that time, they will use cedar for pillars. Now, Solomon did a lot of research around this particular tree. That means that Solomon had a consultancy firm. If you want to do construction, you need to go and consult from him. What kind of cedar do I use for this building? I'm opening our eyes this night. Don't just sit down and allow such powerful, powerful component of your life, which is your mind, to waste. Exercise it. Read wide and read broad. I'm not a forex trader, but I monitor forex. I watch business news. I can tell you the plan of Russia and all this other China and the rest.
the de-dollarization plan they are trying to do, and how the US, to counter it, they are trying to switch into e-dollar, and how it will affect the economy in Africa. And that is the reason why they came together and formed the BRICS nation. They want to invade Africa and share the market so that dollar will no longer be prevalent. And I'm a preacher with power. Yes, you yourselves are witness. It doesn't mean I'm wasting my... Some of us are so spiritual, all you do is pray and read your Bible. Oga, madam, grow up. Look for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. If you take me back to a studio now, I just need a little above 2 weeks. I'll go back to production. As a studio engineer, I can do it. You know, people think that people in ministry are wasting their time. Na lie, yo. Na lie. If you take me back to the studio, I can start producing. Get wisdom. Research. Have a study culture. If you don't have a study culture and routine, you are just you need the help of God. And be faithful to that routine. Ministry in these last days has changed. It is systemized. You will be speaking to people coming from different fields. Intellectual people. Here in this hall, there are people with PhDs seated here. There are people at the top of the corporate ladder seated here. What do you think will make them drive down and sit down for hours? If not that you have knowledge that relates with their field of existence. If God, let me talk to those of us that are called to ministry. If God has called you to ministry, He has called you to the biggest work. Huh? Don't rush. Don't rush to start. Don't rush. Calm down. That burden will remain till you die. Eh? That burden that you want to rush with, it doesn't stop. It will remain till you die. Calm down. Sit down and build your mind. Are you getting blessed? Am I offending you? I hope you know information is currently one of the greatest products for exchange in our today's world. There are many people who don't sell products. They sell information and they make money from it. What do you call it? Affiliate marketing. Somebody has the product. I publicize it online. It's not me that have the product. Somebody has the product. I publicize it online. I generate customer base. This one pays me. Customer, pay me. There are people who are doing food delivery who don't even have a restaurant. The restaurant is their kitchen and their phone. Information. Somebody was sharing with me this morning while I was having a haircut about a company in Russia owned by a very young... I'm going to do a real research on that this week. Owned by a very young man. That the guy has a team of computer hackers. You know, people who hack. Working with him. They can hack into any system. Any organization. So what they will do is that they will hack into your file. Collect files that are confidential. And then the nation that they sell those files to will now use it to threaten you. And then you have to pay that nation money. Because they have your secret. And they said from that guy's business alone, they rake in $100 million every year to hack. Interesting part of the story. They say he bought one of his cars, is he a Lamborghini or what? The plate number in the language of his country is thief. That's the plate number. That's what it means there. And he can drive around and nobody will touch him because he's working. Me, I believe that in Nigeria we have the best ICT and tech people. There's nothing a Nigerian cannot do. All these boys at Bulukutu, which school did they go to? He's not yet 18. He can pieces your phone and fix it for you. And ladies, you can also learn that one. There's no job for men and no job for Except you want to be a problem when they are marrying you. The husband will pay for everything. The higher the bills, the lesser the love. Then when you get into marriage, you are doing all night to strengthen the love. Because you made him to pay everything for you. I know that this one will trend on TikTok now. Let it trend. Amen. Get something. Build your mind. If you are with me, say amen. Oh God. Number three, the blessing. Secrets of the richest man who ever lived. Number three, the blessing. Solomon had the blessing on his life. You see that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. The blessing is a spiritual endowment conferred upon an individual that vetoes every natural limitation, empowering that individual to succeed and prosper. The blessing is a spiritual endowment conferred upon an individual that vetoes every natural limitation, empowering the individual to succeed and prosper. It's called the blessing. Is a spiritual resource that can come on a man. It is God's sworn promises over a man. The blessing. Jacob didn't take anything from Isaac when he ran away from home, but he took the blessing, and that blessing made him a nation. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. That is the supernatural advantage that you have. In addition to everything that you are doing naturally, have the blessing on your life. And if you are a believer, you already have the blessing. You know, it is in three stages. There is the blessing of Abraham. Then there is the blessing. Then there is the blessings of Abraham. The blessing, singular, of Abraham is justification by faith. He believed God and he was justified. He was declared righteous. The blessing is the promise of the Holy Spirit, which we, the Gentiles, we now have because in alliance with Abraham, we believed unto salvation. But then there is the blessings, plural, of Abraham. That one now is the material and financial benefit that is associated with having the blessing of Abraham and the blessing. That one now, it is either by practicing kingdom laws and principles or by aligning with one who already has a covenant with God or by receiving an impartation that you can come into it. So, I can come to Bishop now, for instance, for whatever it is that he has done, and I speak forth a blessing over his life, and from that day there is a spiritual force at work in his life that permits for certain possibilities his way, whether he gets the laws right or not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's called the blessing. Solomon had it. He made sure he secured it from his father David. He made sure he secured it from God before he started ruling. That was why, even though he married many wives and misbehaved at the end of it, he still had peace to the end of his life. Hey, Numbers chapter 23, what did he say in verse 20? He said, I have received a command to bless. He said, he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. Every curse came in time, but blessings are from eternity. My brother, my sister, I don't care the witch that has casted a spell over your life. I don't care that mother, that father, that uncle, that auntie that has abused you or insulted you. If you have the blessing upon your life, you will navigate out of those courses and prosper. That was why Esau cried. He said, give me, don't you have one blessing? The blessing. It can come by impartation. That's why you have to be discerning when God brings men and women of God. And you see, you now have to be very careful when that man or woman of God is your friend. Be sensible enough to know when to relate with them as friend and when to relate with him as a custodian of the blessing of God. They can joke with you now, but the opening of their mouth is the opening of the gates of someone's destiny. You have not seen it before. It's called the blessing. So you can have a transgenerational curse following you, but by reason of your association with one whom has a covenant relationship with God, something can land on your life, and that thing will break and defy natural limitations and force you to prosper. It is useless fighting a blessed man. Do you know why I said so? Psalms 112 from verse 1 to 3. He said, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. He said, his seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." It is useless fighting a blessed man. Please be seated. It is useless fighting a blessed man. That person you are envying in your office, go and check if that person is blessed. It is useless fighting a blessed man. Somehow, at the end of the day, what the devil meant for evil, that blessing will turn it for good. I want to prophesy. I feel an anointing. Any one of you trusting God for promotion, I don't care who is trying to manipulate the system against you, but by the power of the blessing and by the covenant on this altar, I declare in the name of Jesus, rise to that position. Rise to that position. In the name of Jesus Christ, may God bring systems and structures under pressure. May God push men aside to ensure that you achieve and attain that position, whether the devil likes it or not. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. The blessing. When I went to see Apostle Joshua Selman, a lot of protocol trying to stop me. I knew what I was going for. And that moment came when he held me. You know when you want to pray for somebody, the person you need and you lay hands. He held me to his lap like this and began to speak some dangerous things. When he finished from there, when I came back to Maiduguri, I spoke. I said, principalities and powers. You heard what he said. Pack well. Are you hearing me? Now, if you want to fight me, you are wasting your time. With all due respect, if I offend you, allow me to apologize. But fighting me, you are just wasting your time. And it's the same for everyone connected. One of my daughters in the faith from the United States, one time in her life, she was going through a lot of things. And I told her, okay, let's pray and fast. And on the last night, called and we I prayed and made some declarations over her. Within that 1 month, her school issue was resolved. She got a better job. She went to church one of those Sundays and somebody gave her a car. Now the problem was she didn't know how to drive. Neither did she have license. So some blessings will force, some blessings come in a foreign land. The blessing. Go anywhere, it will work. Whether you are in United Arab Emirates, whether you are in Saudi Arabia, whether they are playing all kinds of religious cards against you, if you have the blessing on your life, if you don't have it, look for someone who is a custodian. Right there, after he held me and finished praying for me, right there, I saw instant manifestation and thought to leave. And a multi-millionaire came to me. He gave me his card. He said, "Please, can we have breakfast on Tuesday?" The next time I heard from him, $500,000 was in my account. You just meet somebody from nowhere. I say, "Now, like this, it will work, juju." grace. Thank you, sir. Grace. You may not have anything, but if you have the blessing, Solomon was wise. Do you realize that even when he sinned against God and married strange women, God didn't come back to change what he has said? The blessing. Brothers and sisters, I wish we could continue, but I know I have to stop here. Next week we'll talk about, or can we finish it in 10 minutes? Number 4, strategic relationships. I apologize tonight if we have to go late. I apologize. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll leave here early, okay? Please don't get offended and don't come back next week. If you agree with that, say amen. Strategic relationships. Never underestimate the power of relationship. King Hiram of Tyre gave materials for the building of the temple to Solomon. Why? Solomon had a relationship with King Hiram. King Hiram was David's friend. When David died and Solomon became king, the first thing he did was strengthen the relationships his father has built. There are many young men and sons today, they are just waiting for their fathers to die so that they can seize the vibe that he bought with his 20 years of serving in civil service government. They can see the Highlander that he bought. The house he has in view, that's what they are eyeing. Are you not ashamed of yourself? They don't even care about relationship. The first thing Solomon did was go and strengthen the relationships he had. Relationship is a currency for destiny actualization. Put a man that is highly connected and put at the other side 1 million naira. I'm not even going to think twice. I will hug that man that is highly connected. I can get that 1 million 10 times. No, you see, it's lazy people that want tea and bread. Just give me, let me eat. 1 million one side and a man that is highly connected and influential. I will hold that man. We can. That 1 million will come 100 times. That's the man I will hold. Sometimes you need to even sacrifice to keep some relationship. And an elderly man will travel from America, come to Nigeria. His friend has a 2-year-old son who is celebrating birthday. And the man will travel all the way from UK to Nigeria and come and is dancing with the boy with cake. Are you kidding me? Is it about that boy? What will a 2-year-old boy offer you? Relationship. You, your own, they must call you. You flash everybody, they must call you. You even WhatsApp, you say, send me data, make I send. You, there is no investment. You don't have any relationship around your life that you have invested. Some of you have Muslim friends around you. Can I tell you something? There's no need to pray against Muslims. So, hear what I'm saying? Love them, don't pray against them. Just pray that they will come to know Jesus. In this land, we need them. Be seated. In this land, we need them. They are the ones in charge, whether you like it or not. We need them. Pray for God to give you favor with them. And some of you, God has given you favor with them and you are joking with them. They say, let's meet at so-so place by 10 a.m. You come by 12. You are in trouble. If anything happens in this Maiduguri, by the grace of God, call any sphere of influence in society. I have people there. If anything is happening in Maiduguri and people need to leave, I will leave the fastest way. I have people everywhere. Everywhere. One call will do it. Okay. Now the apostle has said one call. You are now praying to come after the service. I say, hey, apostle, no. I'm a wise person. I will not be... There's some, see, let me tell you, it's not all your friends you introduce, the people you are connected to. No. Judge by trust. Some of them will go and destroy that relationship you have. You have built for many years. No, be wise. Be wise. Yes, sir. Be wise. If anything, during COVID, I traveled by air to and fro. When the airports were shut down. Abuja airport shut down. Maiduguri shut down. Airports everywhere shut down. I went by air I came back by air. How? Relationship. A flight was coming to Maiduguri, a military flight, and I was there. I needed to travel for my mom's burial. One call came in. I said, I need to leave for Abuja, but there is no way. He says, sir, give me 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, I called back. Said, there's a plane coming from Yola to Maiduguri. And sir, we have spoken to the pilot so that you can be on that plane. Okay, how do I come out of my house? We are all on lockdown indoors. He says, sir, give me another 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, a Hilux filled with military personnel showed up. Relationship. You don't have that investment around your life. You may be anointed, but you may die like chicken. You may suffer. The man by the pool of Bethesda, what was his cry? I have no man. Relationship. They are fighting you in an office. Every people come together, gang up to make sure you are sacked. Just know somebody that knows somebody. Now, that your office where they are ganging up against you, you don't know whether the person seated by you right now, all the while I've been preaching, you wanted to go home. You don't know whether the person seated by you is the cousin to the HR in that your office. You don't know. After service, you know, I watch, I see what happens here. After service, we'll just go and hug the people we know. That's why your life is there. You are just like that with the same result. Look for a strange face. Now, I just finished introducing Pastor Idris and his wife. Do you know who they are? After service, just go and hug only those you know. And you are coming every Sunday because you have problem. It's because you are hugging the people you know. I'm hitting you hard this night, but I know there's going to be a shift in somebody's life. I know. Somebody has already changed this night. Why must you cry alone when God has planted people around you? The distance between you and your husband is not location, it's revelation. God just needs to open your eyes. That guy that has been coming to you that doesn't seem like he has anything, maybe the brother of a commissioner. Okay, next week is women's conference. All right, we are coming there. Amen. Take down these scriptures. Proverbs 14 verse 28. Proverbs 14 verse 20 and verse 28. Proverbs 19 verse 4. Solomon built peace treaties and economic ties with different kingdoms. All the women that Solomon was married, it's not because he had immorality problem. He was trying to enter into economic ties with the kingdoms. Now, disclaimer, don't go and marry many wives and say, let's go. No. Just learn the lesson there, relationships. How did Solomon create a labor force in Jerusalem? Simple. All those who were foreigners and were in the land, he gathered them together and they became the labor force there. In exchange for their resident permit, you work. So it was cheap labor. If you read 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 22, 27 to 28, you will see the amount of food that Solomon's household consumed. It was much, but here was what he did. There were 12 governors over the land. Each of them will produce food for his household 1 month. So for the 12 months of the year, relationship. So Solomon didn't pay for food. You think you need money for everything? No, you need relationship for everything. Even to get eternal life is relationship with who? Jesus. Number 5, giving. Solomon was a die-hard giver. When you read 2 Chronicles 9 verse 12, the gift that Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba surpassed what she brought to him. Solomon was a terrible giver. Solomon knew how to spend for God. When you read 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 25 to 28, the Bible spoke about the number of sacrifices that was done every year.
Solomon knew how to spend for God. He was a giver. Luke 6 verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. There is no other way around it. You hold on to what you have, it finishes and you become poor. You release, it keeps coming. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 to 9. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. What does he say in the remaining verses? Quickly, please. He says, so let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Give. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Proverbs 11, 24 to 26, you can read it. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that planted, or he that waters shall be watered. Giving. One of his powerful secrets was giving. To break out of a life of poverty and lack, you must declare war against stinginess and greed. To break out of a life of poverty and lack, you must declare war against stinginess and greed. Every time you think you should not give, maybe that's when you should give. The Bible says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you don't know which one will yield. Give to God, give to his servants, give to the kingdom, give to the poor. Sow seeds of kindness every day. You are expecting God to favor you. You sow that favor to somebody. Bless a random person when you wake up that morning and see whether before that day ends, you will not meet a random destiny helper. It's automatic. Where is Chief Amos? Our accountant. You came to my house. I gave you that money for the service today. When you left, more than times five came back. I just put my head down to rest for about an hour. So when I woke up, more than times five, I felt like I should have given the whole money. Number six, Solomon possessed transactional intelligence. We'll not talk about that one today. Maybe next year when we have a financial seminar for just businessmen, and we'll talk about that. Expose some secrets. Solomon has transactional power. Number seven, excellence. The Bible says kings and queens came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And as they came, they brought their gifts with them. Can I tell you something? Don't stop. Don't stop improving on yourself. Don't stop getting better at what you do. Don't stop until you serve kings. Don't stop until you serve kings. Excellence is a lifetime commitment to deliberate improvement. A lifetime commitment to deliberate improvement. Deliberate improvement. Keep getting better. Don't celebrate what has happened yesterday. Keep getting better. As a pastor, if you preach this Sunday, by next Sunday, let it be sweeter than this Sunday. Let the time come where minus the miraculous, they come because they love to hear what you say. You are a businessman. Explore other opportunities by which you can create streams of income. PPI this month, that's what we are going to deal with. Learn more strategies. Fashion designer, don't sew clothes as if it was sewn in a coven. You threw away the dimensions. And now so baggy for the person. What is wrong with you? Don't sew clothes as if it was sewing. Let me round up here. Solomon made Jerusalem a global tourism destination. You know, gold and silver became common in Jerusalem. With all the construction infrastructure that Solomon had in Jerusalem. Do you know that even the way he built the temple, people were traveling from different nations to come and see what a wonder. Even his house, the Bible says that the Queen of Sheba observed the way to the house of God. He built his throne 6 steps, lion heads on each. What kind of a throne is that? Covered it with gold. That guy was excellent. He was driven. Now, God has given you an idea of puff puff. Puff puff. Somebody will bite the puff puff and see that inside it has not even fried. Make akara for us as breakfast, and everybody's running to the toilet by noon. And you want to get married. No, you want to get married. You are planning that in your introduction you will cook Mariki special. What will happen? The whole community will go. The whole community will go. No, it's next week is women's conference. Can't you just be good at what you do? Can't you just be good at it? Don't compromise. Keep to time. When your customer say 10 a.m., 10 a.m. is 10 a.m. Keep to time so much that the day you eventually miss and come late, you don't even need to explain. They will explain for you because you have a track record. Deliver 10 a.m. on Tuesday. You are coming on Friday by 12 noon. I'm sorry. Later you say my village people are fighting me. No. Can we pray now? You know, tourism was one of the things that Solomon explored. And tourism boosts the economy of any state by harnessing its natural and human resources to contribute to its GDP and national resources. If only the Nigerian government can pay attention to tourism. What did Dubai do to make them a global destination point? That's a desert. Saudi Arabia. Now other nations like Qatar. Invest in your natural resources. Invest in your human resources. You know what they call brain drain. Now everybody's traveling, Japa, going out of Nigeria. It's because we don't invest in human resources. A doctor will stand from morning till night attending to several wards, and you pay him chicken fee. Somebody told me that when some of our consultant doctors here traveled to the United Arab Emirates and they showed them their salary, some of them began to weep for joy. Brain drain. I pray for this government that they will invest in our natural and human resources. We have what it takes to make Nigeria a global destination point. Even this land, even Maiduguri. Well, thank God that the government is building bridge and building all of that. But if they are wise to listen, in this second tenure, they should invest in tourism. And it's excellence that powers that. Today, Tinapa Resort is something else. How many destination sites do we have in Nigeria? I hope you know when I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching to you alone. This message is carrying in it solutions for the economy of nations and territory. But because of time, we have to stop. Please rise on your feet.
You may all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward.
As we close tonight, let's declare that song.
You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and
you. right online, lift your voice in 2 minutes and let's bless the Lord for what we have heard tonight. Lift your voice and thank the Lord for what you have heard. If you know that your life has been transformed, if you know that you have been informed sufficiently, if you know that there is a shift already in your life, lift your voice and bless the Lord. Open your mouth and thank Him. Thank Him that you are hearing these things now. It means that there is a glorious and a brighter future ahead. Open your mouth and give Him praise. Jesus, name we pray. I'm going to speak over our lives and then I'll make the altar call and we are done tonight in just 10 minutes. But listen, brothers and sisters, mommies and daddies, I know that we have been challenged by what we have heard tonight. I know that there is already a shift going on in our minds and in our lives. Some of you can already see a glorious future ahead of you that you are stepping in. I'd like to encourage you that when you go back this week, take this message, listen to it again. You don't have to pay to get it. Listen again and again. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Faith cometh by hearing. You may not get faith where you hear once. You may need to listen to it again and again and again. And make a commitment in your heart not to waste the knowledge that you are receiving. Put it to practice. At least look for one of these principles and practicalize it for 3 months, 6 months. Let's know if God is a liar or His word is truth. I want you to decide that you must prosper financially, that you must rise and become a wealthy kingdom financier. There is a generation that will survive based on your wealth. God is going to give hope and life to many people because of you. Some of you are here, there are many hungry children that are waiting for you to rise because they will depend on you. Some of you are here and the future of widows are in your hands. Don't allow a generation die. Don't make people keep praying to God as though He has not answered them when you are the answer. I'm challenging you this night. Arise for the sake of your generation, for the sake of your community, for the sake of your family. End this plague of poverty once and for all. Let them know that the God that we serve is not a tax master. Let your children not curse the God that you serve because there are no evidences around your life. It's a new day for you. It's a new season. Lift your hands. I want to speak over your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone that has listened patiently to this word, I pray that there will be a radical spiritual and mental shift in their life. I declare a radical spiritual and mental shift in the name of Jesus Christ. I release you into the power dimension of what you have heard. The power of God that is able to turn around, to change, to relocate you from where you are financially to where God has designed you to be. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I declare that you will not make the mistakes of the past anymore. May God deliver you from the mistakes of your ancestry. May God deliver you from the mistakes around your territory. May God deliver you from foolish companions. May God deliver you from systems and situations that will not allow you to access your next level. And by the power of the prophetic, I shift you to your new level. I shift you to your next level financially. In the name of Jesus. Anyone that is caught up in debt, by the power of God's mercy, I declare that in 30 days, may your debts be canceled. Yeah. May your debt be cancelled. In the name of Jesus Christ. I declare again, in 30 days, may your debt be cancelled. May your debt be cancelled. From today, whatever you lay your hands to do will prosper. And those of you that have made a commitment to practice all of these principles, may God ensure that you walk in the results thereof. It is a new day for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Clap your hands and give the Lord praise. Amen. I want to make a quick call to salvation. If you know that Jesus is not the Lord over your life, all standing please, no movement, just for a few minutes. If Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life, if you are not born again sincerely, or you want to rededicate your life afresh, you are a believer but you are not very serious with God, you want to rededicate your life afresh, or you are struggling with an addiction, something that you need God to help you with, while all eyes are closed, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And mean it from the depths of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sins. I receive you into my heart. I declare you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you made that declaration or that prayer with me, please just signify with your hands like this. Let me see you. It's a new beginning for you. If you made that declaration, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, can you come quickly so that I can pray for you? Please clap as they are coming. If you said that prayer with me, please come quickly so I can pray for you.
You are King and you reign forevermore. Reign in my life.
Keep clapping, they are coming. Keep clapping, they are coming. Jesus is calling you. It's a new day to you.
You are King and you reign.
And you reign forever.
Reign in my life.
Reign in my life.
Reign in my life.
One more time.
You are King.
You are King.
And you reign.
And you reign forever.
Reign in my life.
Reign in my life.
Stretch your hands towards these ones in front. What a wonderful number we have tonight. With joy, stretch your hands towards them and pray for them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for these ones. We declare their sins forgiven. We declare that their past is rolled away. We break the power of sin over their life. Satan, death, hell, and the grave. We break every addiction in their life. We break the power of witchcraft. Every spirit that has buffeted them and stopped them from serving you, we arrest that spirit right now. We declare it's a new day for them. May they love you and serve you all the days of their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. This young lady, look at me, my dear. What do you do? Are you a student? You are a student. God is going to use you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
This is just a question. Who has something to do with music? Music around your life. Who has something to do with music? Huh? I'm talking to you now. Are you shy? Who has something to do with music? Music around you. I'm seeing. You
can't remember.
Huh?
I can't remember.
You can't remember. Okay. I see the hand of God on your life. Look at me. You are a woman of God. You hear what I'm saying? You are a woman of God. And God is going to use you to create your own brand in business. That's what I see. I will not be surprised if you are in, if you go into fashion. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling? What do you have to do with fashion? Huh? This girl is not talking. Okay, let me hand over. Talk now. It's your destiny here. What are you into?
Fashion.
Fashion designing. You are learning how to sew.
Aha,
uh-huh, that's what God showed me. Are you afraid? Listen, listen. Do you know what prophecy is? A future was just created for you now. Are you hearing me? I see you preaching with one hand and running businesses on the other hand. Fashion design. And the Lord is telling me in my ears right now that it's not only fashion you do. You will go into cosmetics. Huh? Are you hearing me? Cosmetics, makeups, and all of that. The grace that shifts men into this reality rests upon your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, those of you in front. I want to hand you over to our counselors. They will talk to you, pray with you. Listen to me. The best gift you can do for yourself now is to keep coming every Sunday. God is changing your lives, and you'll never remain the same.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.